You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2019 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the fourth class in a series given by Brother Doug Davis on the subject, Exploring the Millennial Period. This class is titled, The Millennial Golden Age.
Good morning. As you can see on the screen, it's talking about the Golden Age. At this point, we've already talked about the war that has happened. Jesus is now king in Israel. New world order is being established and is establishing. And then there's a transition period. And for the next several centuries, the world will be in this Golden Age. And life as a mortal and immortal we'll be discussing today, as well as the change that's going to take place on the earth. I just want to touch base on from last night. I was just actually talking to John and others about the wonders of this particular school. And I love how there are so many people from so many different areas within the country and the world. And we see us coming together like this. And it is a millennial kind of experience, if you want to look at it this way. Luke, I appreciated your thoughts last night on Meal a Day. You know, when you look at this and you saw the slides up there, and I think I want us to now start looking at the way that Luke presented last night and showed the pictures of the people in Colombia, looking at people coming from outside and helping to deal with the issues that they're up against, right? And they would look at you and say, you have this technology, you have these abilities that we are incapable, we don't understand, but you now bring these technologies into our village and you now allow us to be able to live better. Now there's a millennial echo. We are the saints in that particular case is the saint coming into that village and helping the people understand the new ways, the new order that is taking place. They're incapable of understanding. But now it's our job as the priests and the teachers in the millennial period to help people understand the new ways, life-giving ways. And I think that's just a wonderful echo for us brothers and sisters when we look at that. And again, not to lose sight that this is our jobs right now. If we're not understanding these things, that is a call to action for us. And I look at John Launchbury, came up and asked me or shared something with me, and I think it's very important for us to also understand that, is that if we don't want to be in the kingdom, we won't be in the kingdom. Christ isn't going to force something on us that we don't want. And I think that's a really important, very basic lesson. But if you're not connecting to this in the sense of that and saying, I really don't really care, then maybe there's a change that needs to take place amongst us. Or amongst yourself, and it becomes very personal at that point. Where am I right now? Is it a have to or a want to? That the way I'm looking at my relationship with my Lord. And if it's a have to, we got to change the perspective. And it's very important for us to get our minds wrapped around that. And I think for us to look at that and to have those conversations. And again, here he is. I look at the talents that we're given now. Will be those kind of concepts that we carry over into the kingdom. I look at the relationship between Bruce and Luke. It took persuasion for you to get to that point. And then all of a sudden Bruce says, I'm not giving up on this, right? And it's not a one and done. I'm going to keep coming at you. And I think this is what the kingdom will be like. There's going to be people that do not get it. They do not want it at this point. And finally, you'll start to see, I've got a millennium. To work with you on these things. I think that's a brilliant perspective. And we're experiencing kingdom events now in the sense of the way we're interacting with one another. And I think it's very important. And now the wonders start to come out with respect to how we start to look at what takes place. And I love, we'll be in Isaiah a bit and obviously other verses, but to start to take these things in and really see how they will apply to us. And so, Isaiah, we know these scriptures in terms of our lives will be like the life of the span of a tree in terms of longevity. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So foreign to us right now, brothers and sisters. We see people dying early. We see people not living out their span, as we would say. Oh, they died prematurely. They died early. That is going to be in the kingdom period a thing of the past. We'll see that more, but the idea of us being that old and being able to be around and be able to share those life experiences. And I talk to you all, look at the time from the time that you came in to your understanding of Christ to where you are now, and look at that transitional time, that period, how you are now. Look at the old self and look at the new self as you are now. Don't you see the change? If you're to equate yourself as the youth you were, and you look at that and see how I've evolved, how I've grown in my understanding of my relationship with my God, that is what this period will be like as well. And we will be helping people implement this in their walk, in their journey of understanding who Christ is and what his wonderful kingdom is. And to be able to look back and say, remember that? Remember Trump? You know, like, remember Trudeau? Remember Xi? All these leaders, they were not the example that we need. And by the way, we've got to be prepared for people being almost like rescue dogs. Like when you take these animals in and you take care of them, you look at welfare or people that when we bring children into our homes because they're coming from a horrible environment. And now we're trying to educate them. Can you imagine that? They're coming in and they're saying, is this going to be similar to what it was like that I came from? And we're saying, it's different. It's okay. You're safe. And that's what's really critical for us to understand, that this world just teaches horrible. Like it's, we see love at times. We see grace. We see mercy at times. But a lot of times we see hatred and abuse and murder, lying and cheating and stealing and those things will be things of the past, but it'll take time for people to actually understand this and get used to this. And that's our job. Say, it's okay. I'm going to show you a better way. And so in the old days, as we know, in terms of the pre-flood, these were the ages of people. You start to see at what point they died. And the average age of Genesis 6 is 830 years. It's an interesting thought. And the average age of a person having a child was 91. Holy smokes. Like, I don't have the patience level right now to have a child. Could you imagine being 91? But again, the dispensation, everything extends out. And it's a beautiful thought when you look at this and say, we have all this extra time. But what now? The question is, what do we do with it? How are we using this time? And why is God and Christ set this up in this way that we can now start to take advantage of this? I want us to remember this because these time frames are important in terms of the millennial period, how many generations we will possibly have in the millennium. You know, there'll be maybe three, maybe four generations that will come through that period of time. And I'll be talking about that tomorrow more. And this beautiful thing, no more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. Interesting thoughts when we look at this, is that right now we are experiencing children dying at birth. Children, and again, Luke, thank you for your words, putting the child out to see if they'd be strong enough. What a life. What a world that we live in. Completely turned around. These children will not die at birth for the most part, because still death is going to be a part of the kingdom, but it is going to be controlled. And disease, as we know, these things. But the beauty is that now we see this wonderful image coming into play for us. And how many of us have been touched by death, this tragedy of children dying so young. And he's saying that they'll be 100 years old. That's wonderful when we look at this. And again, will the saints have the ability to raise someone from the dead? We have examples of that in the Old Testament. You think of the prophets, the apostles. So if we're in charge of a village, or a town as an immortal. And we get the sense that we're now hearing the sadness or the fear that's going on in my village. Do I now go to that person and say, leave the room, I will take care of this, and raise that child back up? Think about that. We have those examples back to give us kingdom glimpses. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. What powers will Christ imbue upon us that we will now be able to share with those that, and can you imagine the conversion of a person? You're going to Colombia now. You see these things taking place. And what do they think? If only you would have been here a while ago, my child would have been saved. Now we have the ability to actually say, leave it with me. I will bring him back or her back. It's just beautiful imagery when we look at these things. And again, unfortunately, I want to tell you is that meal a day may not be required. That's all. These are little glimpses. It's like, how will this be? Will these industries still exist or be required anymore? They won't be. And you think of the amount of energy and money that goes into running these huge conglomerates and businesses. For what purpose? To save lives, to help people prolong their lives, but also to make a dollar. Will these things be required anymore? And I say no. It'll be diminished. Will there be things going on that will, again, new medicines, new ways? Will they even be required? Will we be the medicine in the kingdom as saints? Come to me. And again, you look at this and you think of, again, displacement. You know, I this is what I used to do, right? I used to be in this industry. Well, now I'm in the kingdom, and that industry doesn't exist anymore if I'm immortal. How many students in the crowd have heard that when you come into university or college, but by the time you leave the job, there will be more jobs that will be available that we don't even know at this time, right? That are being created, that at the time you started college or university now exist that never existed when you started. That's what the kingdom will be like, in the sense of people coming in saying, well, this is what I used to do. I used to be a finance person. Well, that's going to be an interesting question. I used to be a doctor. Well, doctors aren't really required as much now. And so you start to look at these things. And so now what do I do? So what will the skill sets look like? What will we be doing? What will we be newly taught? Or what will we be teaching when we're there? No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who dies not fill out his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. So, and then Ecclesiastes has a neat corollary to this. Though a sinner dies evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he be prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. So in the kingdom period, there will be elderly people, but if they don't accept Christ, or if they're evil in the millennial period, they will also pass away. They will be accursed. So you have to look at, these things don't stop. We can still grow old, but what life are we going to live? The mortals will live in the kingdom. Will it be for Christ, or will it be for themselves? But again, their lives are prolonged. And I look at us now, and how many, again, how wonderful would it be for you to be, or us, to see people start out as an infant and grow to 800 years old, and to see their children, and all of them now accepting Christ and that kingdom, and wanting to be a part of being all in all at the end. Life is immortal, speaking one language. And we have a beautiful image. And God, and again, this is why I just love, if we look at our Bibles, and not just study it, but just really question it, saying, boy, I never thought of it. Or what does this mean? How does it impact me? How will it impact me? And when you look at this, Zephaniah says, yea, at a time I will change the speech of the people to a pure speech, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. Now, you can look at this physically speech or one spirit. We're all under one kind of viewpoint on the way we understand Christ and his teachings. And we'll be teaching those things. But again, teachers, will we be teaching new languages to the children of the kingdom? Or to the mortals that are coming in? Or will they just be given, this is your language? But then we have an interesting tie to that back in Genesis when Babel was introduced. And look at the words here. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off the building, the city, which is Babel, or Babel. Therefore, its name was called Babel because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. You have that scattering. The creation of all the nations now start, because now I'm looking for somebody that I can actually understand. And so now we get together and we create our new town. And they start to scatter. And they're speaking all these different languages. And we can no longer communicate. And then now what happens? You're different than I am. I don't get you. I don't understand you. I'm threatened by you. There's fear that becomes out of this. Can you imagine? See the cascade effect that started back then. And look at how the Bible lays it out, how all the nations start war with one another. Why? Number one is fear, because I don't understand you. Can you imagine now back in the when we are in the kingdom? That is erased. We are now together under one combined language. I now start to really understand what you're saying and what you're about, but also one unified spirit. Not a amended, unamended Baptist, Muslim. It's one. And we're spreading that across. And it is a positive thing. It's not something to be fearful of. And it's something that we, right now, brothers and sisters and friends, we can't quite understand because we're in the midst of it. I love that saying that, right now, I mentioned this earlier to somebody. I said, here's a mortal trying to talk about immortal things. I am just... I'm so out of touch in terms of fully understanding. But what I love about this conversations and these things that we're talking about this week is that it causes us to think and say, okay, I see a greater thing. I really see it. And I love the interactions that we're having with one another and saying, what do you think about this? And somebody actually come in and say, what will we be wearing? To where the mind goes, right, on these things. But it's a wonderful thought to think of the unification that takes place. It is a complete union of people. No different than when we come out of the waters of baptism, that we are unified. We're one with our Lord. We're no longer a servant. We are his child or his son or daughter. And that's a beautiful image. And that's to teach us that there's something greater coming, brothers and sisters. And so mortal millennial attributes, here are the same things. We're still made male and female. And we're told children will be born in the millennial period. So what's going to happen? They're going to have more children. And there's life. We're seeing life come about. And there'll be millennial children. And the millennials, that actually now takes on a whole new meaning. Bodies are still subject to illness and death. They still require food and water. They still have children. They still need to work. Still under the constraints of time. And still have free will. What's different is they live longer, as we saw. Illness and disease are contained. Speak one language. Contentment in work, which we'll see more of. And we'll be able to see and interact with Jesus, angels, and mortals. You think about that. Right now, those are concepts that we only think about. They're all invisible to us, if you think about that. I see Christ in the faces looking at me right now. But to actually have the physical presence of Christ on the earth. And then actually to see, can you imagine mortals interacting with the immortals? And I think of the Old Testament stories of Manoah, for example, when he sees the angel come. They fall on their face. That will start to kind of sway out because we will now be very visible. We will be there, but they will know who we are by not just our physical, but by our capable in the way we teach, in the way we talk, in the way we love one another. Need to learn new methods and processes. Think about that. It's no different again, as I said. Right now, people are learning things in university and college that may not even exist by the time they get out. Or new things are starting that don't even exist. And so at this point, they're going to be learning new things. I'll have to be retrained. Right? I was a soldier. Well, you're no longer a soldier. And so farming, you know, I don't know the first thing about farming. And so now I have to relearn and be retooled into understanding that. Think about that. And we will be teaching. And by the way, it'll be a different kind of farming, which we'll touch on. And the whole world will know Jesus. And that's where that beautiful prophecy is. As the waters cover the sea. It is going to cover the earth, brothers and sisters. And we're going to see this. And we're going to be the proponents of it. We're going to be the active agents in making these things happen. And bringing the good news to the people. And we're seeing glimpses of it now, aren't we? Like this is the work we're trying to do. And this is why I challenge you. Because challenging me is to look at myself and say, how am I preparing for this? Are all my actions and all my activities on things that are not kingdom related or preparing me for these things? Am I showing Christ in all the things or most of the things I'm doing or trying to? Or is he just a sideline or something that I tap into on a Sunday morning? And even then I'm distracted. And again, but I'm looking up there and I look at our young people because in the younger generation, because what's happening is that we're so disconnected now. We're so tied into our technology that it's even harder to actually connect and understand what it means to be an agent of change for Christ. Because we're so involved in our lives and so involved in these things that we're not talking and we have lost, we're losing the ability to be able to express ourselves and share our beliefs with one another. And so, with all those changes taking place, these are some other entities that won't be required anymore. Take a look at the labels, the logos, and do you recognize any? And some of you may be connected to these things and be donating to these things or actually working for some of these. And you see, I did a couple stints in Turkey, doing work with Iranians that were leaving Iran because they converted to Christianity and were really being chased for their lives. And Turkey is accepting, but it costs. But we would go over and you see what they're living like. But then it's the UNHCR, right? That entity is no longer going to be required. And they help all the people trying to escape either from famine or flood or persecution. They are a wonderful organization, but they're inept. They cannot possibly handle everything that is going on around the world to the degree that is required. That's all changing. The whole new millennial period will now be taking in all these people and being able to address the needs of everybody on a person-by-person basis. And so you see so many things. Will the United Nations be required anymore? We'll be under one nation. And right now it's such an ineffective environment or business or entity that it has trouble. Human Rights Watch. You look at that. What about human rights? Can you imagine how righteous the kingdom will be? And these people will say, I'm so used to being persecuted. being beat up. I'm so tired of being poor and hungry. That is all now taken care of in the millennial period, whereas these things are just trying to deal with an infinitesimal amount of people. And again, thanks to Luke last night, showing the numbers up there was fantastic. Well, sad, actually. 850 million people hungry or not having clean water or all these things. Whereas now those things will be shifted over. And will that be what we'll be doing in the millennial period? Changing this earth as well, bringing those things back? Or will it be the snap of a finger? Will the earth be just pristine right away? Or will we be working with the mortals, working on developing this earth, trying to get it back to Eden? European Union, right? There's so many different things. And again, United Nations human rights. There's so many different human rights issues. You look at this. And disease, that'll be gone. Or put to a corner. It won't be as prevalent. To lose a loved one to that now. To lose a loved one to bad water. Or inhaling the cooking smoke off my stove. Done. Different methods, different ways. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Do you see all of the things that are collected in that one, those verse? Look at all the changes that will take place. And I love this. You know, and there it is. It's outside of the United Nations, right? That's what that statue and that verse is outside of. The United Nations will no longer be required to exist. And what do they do with it? They won't learn war anymore. They start to pound those things into a plowshare so that we go and we use it for implements to bring food into the countries or into the nation. And again, the nations shall beat their swords. It's everyone, all nations. And not to teach war anymore. That's a fascinating thought if you think about it, especially from a United States standpoint. I'm sickened by the amount of money that goes into that beast, the military beast. You as a nation, when I hear that it's close to $1 trillion on an annual basis that is being poured into that, you think about that, what we could do with that right now. But it's for our protection. And it's now, we don't need that anymore. Because the kingdom will be one of peace, not war, not hatred. It's something I want to be a part of. Here's a military industry, just a slight fraction of the logos of these particular industries. I did Forbes magazine did a analysis of the top 20 military industries or businesses in the world. The majority here in the United States, it on an annual basis, just the top 20 was over $500 billion annually they make. They employ just over 1.5 million people in the United States. And those people will be displaced. They're going to have to learn a new industry, a new way. And again, you look at this, to what end are these nations, are these industries, what is their premise? What is their reason for being? You know, again, it's for military, building of missiles, building of weaponry, so that we can kill one another. And that's why that United Nations, don't take that saying or that verse lightly. It's a wonderful, it's a hopeful verse for us brothers and sisters, and we should not lose sight of that. But we're bombarded by this, and the fear-mongering that takes place right now is because we need this to protect ourselves. And to protect our interests elsewhere. That's the world we're living in right now. That's not the world that we're walking into. This will take a huge revolution around the world with respect to the affairs of man. Can you imagine? If those titans of industry, so to speak, actually survive and come into the millennial period, what outlook will they have? Will they be the beginning or the sowing the seeds of discontent down the road or telling their grandchildren about things? of this is the way it used to be and glorifying it. Because again, I think again, so long as man is involved, we are going to have human thoughts, human weaknesses, and they will not go into the night lightly. They will fight against this. The whole military machine in all nations will be dismantled. All of the taxes, time, and money devoted to these purposes will then be available to developing industries of a useful and peaceful character to be conducted on a right, on righteous principles. You think about that. It's a whole different mind shift. And we, because of our learning, because of the training that Christ has given us and God through his word and these settings to be able to help us and say, we understand what is the potential and what is coming upon this earth. Something great, something marvelous. And we will teach that there's a better way. There's something better that is with us right now. That being Christ on his throne and his saints spreading the word, being doctors, healers, preachers, priests, and in some cases soldiers. But for the most part, it will be teaching all the new ways of life that Christ has instilled. The markets will never then, this is the question. I cannot see this. Right now, what happens with the stock market? As soon as there is a fear of something, what happens? It either goes up or it goes down. 401ks, we have RSPs in Canada. 401ks, that's a done deal. What are you retiring for now? Is that required? Are the markets around the world required anymore? Because when I showed you the logos of the military machines, that's just a fraction. Can you imagine? Those businesses won't exist. So what are we investing in anymore? Why do we need to invest? So that whole mechanism, that whole industry is potentially wiped out. So it's an interesting thought when we look at that. In those days, abundance of peace shall flourish so long as the moon endureth. And so the focus again is around this, not around warfare or greed or hatred or fear. It's a whole new way of thinking. And we're those agents to assist in that. Romans 8, we all know this verse, and I love this verse. This is one of the ones that actually, when I first started studying, really touched me when I started to look at thinking that I have difficulty when I'm here thinking that this is under a curse. We went for a walk today with Karen and looking at it at that point. What a beautiful to see that and to think this is under a curse. And the signs about careful invasive species, right? It's interesting. Will they exist? Will weeds exist? What do we consider weeds? But in this, for the creation, the whole creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage. There's a whole change coming about. To decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Think of that. We get it now because of our understanding, because of the sharing that we do amongst ourselves and the work we're trying to do now. We see that there's something better coming, but we're just trying to help now. Improve it. But it, no matter what we do, this is still under a curse. Can you imagine what it will be like once that's lifted? An amazing thought for us. Again, beyond comprehension, because we've not been used to that. So now, all the agro business, is that required? That'll be an interesting thought. Do we need Monsanto anymore? Franken seeds. You know, like the changing of these things. Scientists will be put out of work. But you look at this, again, I couldn't fit it on a proper screen, but look at all the business associated with just trying to keep the world fed. And we're doing such a poor job at it. But they understand that there's something, they have to do this just to make things grow. That's an interesting thought. All the effort, all the money going into something just to feed people, but also to make a dollar. And thus says the Lord God, in the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who pass by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now inhabited and fortified. Then the nations that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do. And we've seen a shadow of this in the reestablishment of Israel. And you can see photos of the changes that Israel has when you look at it to the neighboring nations, how green and lush because of their capabilities of bringing water back into the land compared to the other nations around. That's an echo to what the new Israel will be like under Christ and under our tutelage. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Again, look at that imagery. You know, when we think that, the sower will overtake the reaper. So as soon as things are pulled out of the ground, we can plant right away. And it just catches up. It is so plentiful, so rich. You cast the seeds, and in a very short time, they just start to sprout. This is the millennial. This is a wonderful image. My question is, will it be this or this? Because this is for what? Commerce? We grow it here. We ship it overseas. It's to take care of other nations. Those nations will all be taken care of. We will be in those nations helping them grow and farm it, teaching them how to handle this, and God in Christ providing it on a day in, day out basis. And so I believe that we will be back to more of this, but it'll be taking care of our communities, feeding our people in a lovely way. Will it be kibbutz? Will it be a kibbutz community? I love that kind of, it's communal. We're all one together, working for the common goal. Gorgeous imagery. And then the grapes. There's vineyards, again. And I'm really pleased that there's wine involved. But again, will it be like this or like this? This is not as modern. I had others. I had steel tanks. Will we be, you know, will we require so much? But it'll be so bountiful. Some people are saying, yes, we will require a lot. But but it's again, these images. And we can kind of gloss over these things. But when you start to see what it means, especially compared to today's world and environment, it's such a beautiful image. And these are the promises given to us, that we are able to share this and come together and be able to reap the bountiful a bounty that God and Christ have given us. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. I know that there is nothing better for them to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Also that it is God's gift to man that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. You may look at this as it's Ecclesiastes, I know, but think about yourself. When do you feel really good? After you sat on the couch all day, or when you've actually accomplished something, when you've worked and you've done something, you actually see what you've built with your hands. This is what we're asked for. This is what we're doing. This is what we're made for. And there is a real lovely feel, isn't there, at the end of a day after putting in a hard day of work and just saying, look at this. And to be able to sit under your vine and say, Ingrid, wine. But it's a beautiful image. And how many of us have actually experienced this? To actually, you grow your own vegetables or grow your own vines and to be able to sit under that or buy it. You see, it's a lovely image. And say, I'm experiencing this now. How much greater in the millennial period will that be? Think about harvest time when things come in and the festivals that take place now. But the Feast of Ingathering, the beautiful time. Those are experiences to help you understand what bounty is going to come, but by whose hand it's given to us. Not Monsanto's. It's by the grace of God and by Him giving me the ability to be able to work and the strength to do so. And us, for the mortals to be able to do that, but also for the immortals to be able to assist and help and guide and direct. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. Brothers and sisters, your nation has had major upheavals. You look at what's coming upon the earth and what you've experienced already with the hurricanes and the floods that are taking place and the tragedy that you've seen, the fires that are taking place. Those are things that will be of the past. Things will be back into harmony. We're out of whack right now in the whole climate issue. But people are going through this heartbreak of losing everything that they've had, wondering, where do I turn? But we, and this is a beauty, we all help. Can you imagine? Again, people have got to learn what it means to help one another. It cannot be done like this because we're not learning anything. We will be active. We will be involved in restoring things, but also helping people come back to their homes and creating new homes. I will plant them upon the land, and they shall never again be plucked up out of the land which I have given them, says the Lord. I have, again, you look at the displacement going on around the world. It's due to what? Again, a lot of climate change issues that we're up against, and war and fear. And again, not in my country. You're not welcome. Can you imagine? This is where the Statue of Liberty, I think, will actually exist in the millennial period. Bring me all your people. Bring them to me. And again, we see this, and you know what? We change the channel. Because what can we do? We can give some money, or we can go to a country and do some work. And I'm not, I think the P2P, that's kingdom work. It's brilliant. It's a scratch on the surface of what this world is going under right now. But the beauty is that it'll be restored. Everybody will have something to call home. They'll be a part of a collective that where there's love, mercy, and safety and peace, that they can come under their roof, under their vine, and feel safe. And be under a king that gets it. That he is actually the one that's established it. As opposed to, pay me your taxes, go to war for me, and by the way, you're no longer welcome in our country because of your color or because of your religion. Think of that. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years was ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, this is our task. We're going to be priests of God and of Christ. What a wonderful gift that will be given to us. How many people here have had the blessing of being able to share their faith with somebody and they be able to, you see the light go on in their eyes and in their lives and be able to associate and say, I get what you're saying. I see the message that you're talking about. I want to be a part of that because I don't have it in my life. That's what we will see continually in the millennial period. Helping the new, like the mortals come in
understanding what is all this about, the confusion that they will have in their eyes, and we will be there to comfort them. But then their children and their children's children, we'll get to see that. And said, I helped you, your parents, with understanding this. And now I have the blessing of helping you. I'm your priest. Come to me. And I will share with you the ways of your king. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's mind. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. He's given us this image of what eternity. He's given us a concept. We all talk about it, don't we? What will it be like? It's what this class is all about. Will it be like this or will it be like that? But he's given us the opportunity to be able to kind of think on it, look at it, and then to really appreciate it to a degree, but not to the full extent, not until we're in the kingdom. And I'm going to stop it there, and we'll pick up with immortals tomorrow. Thank you.